What's good? This is Logan Murdoch here with the Warriors HQ podcast. It's kind of an interrogation thing going on. I wish you guys could see. I'm looking at my colleagues, Dieter Kurtenbach.
What's up, Logan?
And Mark Medina. How are you guys doing?
Well, I would prefer to not be here. We're at the Marriott. So the Warriors practice at the top of the downtown Oakland Marriott. We're on the second
level.
Way to
disclose their secret location.
They put their name on the top of the building here, Mark. And we're on the second floor in a taupe hallway / room. And Logan's staring right down at us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a lot of things on my chest that I don't necessarily want to get off.
Are you sure?
I don't want to self-incriminate.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to be the contrarian, but this is like the Seinfeld episode where Newman thinks he's interrogating Jerry.
Yes.
And he feels completely comfortable.
We're also so next to the men's bathroom.
Here's the thing.
Which is just about right for this pod.
We'll see how much information you guys divulge by the end of this podcast. He's going to be telling dirty secrets. Dirty's going to be telling dirty secrets. Mark's going to be telling tales from the road that we weren't necessarily supposed to hear.
It gets wild out there.
No, I never leave a paper trail.
Oh. Stealth Medina. Funky, cold, Stealth Medina.
But,
I'll divulge everything to Marcus Cousins, though.
All right.
Yeah,
so
let's talk basketball.
We are here, of course, to talk to Marcus Cousins. Obviously, there's been reports that he will be back. I think Mark Spears of The Undefeated.
And Chris Hayes, of Yahoo.
Were.
I wonder who the source is.
Well, that's a game to play for another day. But we do know that they have both stated that he will be making his debut on December 18th. Mark Stein also
January 18th.
So that's next week.
Next week. Mark Stein also said that it could be somewhere in that weekend. Steve Kerr said it could be anywhere from the 16th to the 21st. He could be playing tomorrow. We don't know, but the fact
is
he is slated to come through. Do you? I guess I'll put this over to Mark
first.
Yeah,
throw it to Mark, baby.
Do you think that was this around the timeline that you expected when he signed in July?
Yes and no. I mean, exact dates, I wasn't quite sure, but I was always thinking that it wouldn't be significantly before the time he got hurt, which was January 26th of 2018,
right,
when he was with the Pelicans. And the reason for that is the typical timeline for an Achilles injury. If you want to go super fast, you could maybe return in 6 months, but usually it's between 8 to 12 months, and the Warriors have been about taking their time because they have four all-stars and this injury is pretty serious. So it's in line with all that. Whether he returns the 16th, the 18th, the 21st, maybe a few days after, it all falls in line of it's within that window of it being a year.
So, Mark, you were around the Lakers there for a while. What was Kobe's timeline like? Because that's the most famous Achilles injury in NBA history. And before Kobe, it was widely considered to be a career ender.
Right.
And he came back. I don't know if it really helped anything because all of the injuries then sort of went up the chain from there. Then his calf went because he was overcompensating and stuff. But it was 8 months for Kobe when he did it with the Lakers?
Yeah, it was 8 months. He injured it April 13th of 2013, and I think he came back December 9th.
Yeah, and that's my
bet. That same season. And it's – the context of how this applies to Boogie, I mean, sure, this illustrates this is a pretty serious injury and
for sure,
you have to take your time, but it's a completely different set of circumstances. You have Kobe toward the tail end of his career.
Right.
He already was kind of fighting father time.
Yeah, had been playing since he was 18.
He's playing on an awful team. That season specifically, they technically on paper had Steve Nash and Pau Gasol, but Steve played –
That was the Dwight Howard year, no?
No, that was the year after Dwight left. So Dwight leaves. Steve Nash is still there. Pau Gasol still there.
That was a garbage team.
But Steve Nash played 15 games that season because he was having more issues than Kobe.
Yeah.
Pau was a shell of himself for injuries, philosophical differences with Mike D'Antoni. And then to illustrate maybe to Warriors fans just how different this Warriors team was, probably the next best dependable player on that team was Nick Young. And he actually played well that season.
Yeah, that was Young out of USC, Nick Young.
But it was a product of
– that was an NBA champ.
You have all these random guys on one of your contracts thrown together, plus an injured Kobe, Pau, and Steve. That put a lot of pressure for Kobe to come back. He already is the franchise guy. He's trying to prove this isn't the end of his career. So –
and he was making like way more than anybody else in the NBA.
Well, and then
at the time.
He also got the extension, 2 years, 48
That's my favorite extension in NBA history. He got all of his money up front every year.
Right. And I think the Warriors, I mean, the Lakers at the time, they were coming on the heels of they had lost White.
Yeah.
They wanted to
they needed him back. Yeah.
They wanted to show a good faith to Kobe. Whereas, and also not Boogie, have an awkwardness.
Boogie, that doesn't apply here with DeMarcus. But I would think that the biggest concern that I have with Boogie coming back, obviously they've been talking about the conditioning. He might, I don't know if his injury has actually improved in any way over the last few months. He might have just been trying to get to a point of conditioning where he can get on the NBA court. The game is faster, markedly, appreciably faster than it was last year. And Boogie weighs 70 pounds more than Kobe.
Yeah, he's at 270.
Right? Yeah, and like, there's no way he's hanging at 270 right now. I mean, I know what happens if I don't work out for a couple of weeks. Like, Boogie's coming in at 285. I mean, he's a massive dude. We've never seen a big man come back, and he's a massive dude who, to whatever degree, was kind of predicated on athleticism. So, do we have now just a low post kind of Zaza moving guy, or did they get back to the point where DeMarcus Cousins is even 75% or a 50% version of the same kind of player? Because whatever his athletic limitations are, that speaks loudly to what it is he can and cannot do on the floor.
Yeah. What I've heard from people that I've talked to about him in practice, they have, as of late, they have raved, and this is not something that's a secret.
No, yeah, they're about it. Yeah.
They have raved about how he has been in scrimmages, especially as of late. One player told me he was good AF.
Yeah, I believe that.
That he's been really good in scrimmages. We obviously reported that he would be this would be kind of the general timeline he would be back here. I am curious to see how the conditioning level is, because the fact is he can play all the scrimmages he wants to. He can play all that. I think you remember Kobe's first game back. He was tired against Toronto
that night.
And he also looked bigger than normal. I think that there's something to be – I wonder what kind of minutes limits or what kind of things that will do. What do you think his first game will be like in Staples Center?
I think if it is that game against the Staples Center Clippers, I think he comes off the bench. I think they stick with the starting lineup of Looney. And I think that those minutes that they've been playing Draymond outside of the final part of the second quarter and final part of the fourth quarter, those minutes at Draymond at center, I think that they take that, because there's about a five-minute chunk there on either end of the second quarter and fourth quarter where, in theory, the backup center is supposed to play. And that backup center right now is Draymond Green. I think that those are the minutes you bring in, you know, start of the second quarter, start of the fourth quarter, you play Boogie, you give him about 10 to 12 minutes, but you see if he's got it, and you just feed him the ball, and you let him get his confidence back. You make him run up and down, but you get him minutes against the second units. Mm-hmm. And this would be huge. This was something I mentioned in my column. Like, the second unit has not had a guy that they can rely on. They've rotated three dudes through it. Klay Thompson didn't work out. Kevin worked out, but they didn't feel great about it for some reason. I don't know. I still believe that Kevin probably should have been the dude. And now they're rotating Steph in that spot, and Steph doesn't like it because he's not getting to play the full first quarter. I think that they've kind of spotted these minutes for Boogie all along, where he comes in, he starts the game, comes out after about 6 minutes, takes the rest of the first quarter off, comes back in the second, and kind of goes from there as the fulcrum, kind of takes that David West role on. And that's something that they haven't had this year, even though they've put three of the best players of all time in that spot. Maybe Boogie can provide some stability in that. And plus, with having that being the first priority, you can wean him in a little bit easier than trying to be like, hey, keep up with four other all-stars.
Yeah, I'm putting some bets. He's starting. He's not coming off the bench.
Really?
Open the game. I mean,
I don't think that's a great idea.
Steve hasn't given any indication that would ever happen. And number two, I mean, you just look at the centers these past few years. Like, they don't play a lot of minutes to start the game. So I think what will happen –
I think eventually he'll start, obviously, but I think at the start, I mean, wouldn't it make sense to just give him that secondary?
No, because I think you can accomplish both, where he's going to be staggering minutes of the second unit. The point I was trying to make is, you know, they played Zaza and JaVale in recent seasons, pretty short burst to open the game.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's going to be
the same. And then they didn't play again.
And then they didn't play again, yeah. And then you have DeMarcus. He's to your larger point of he's going to be overseeing the second unit,
right,
to open the second quarter. He's definitely doing that. But I would be very skeptical that Steve brings him off the bench to just phase him back in the lineup for two reasons. One, why create even more complications of adjusting to him being in the starting lineup to begin with? Like, that's another
That's a fair thought. Go all
in. And then number
first.
Two, the Warriors' center position is awful right now. So even like
I'm
a
sorry,
50,
do not be beseeching Kevon Looney's name 50, on this podcast. This is no, a no Kevon slander zone.
DeMarcus is better than what they
here's
have.
Here's the thing.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing, Dieter.
Oh, man, Kavon, I am livid.
Kavon is in the center. He's a power forward. So yeah,
I love Kavon.
You know how many centers they have on this team right now? Zero.
Yeah, so DeMarcus is starting.
DeMarcus might be starting. I think that the starting lineup thing, as we've learned from this team perhaps more than any other team in recent NBA history, starting lineups don't matter. It's closing lineups. And I think that's the big question for me. Do they stop going to the quote-unquote Hamptons 5 or the death lineup or whatever in the second and the fourth? Because in theory, Boogie should be an upgrade. In theory. Now, maybe it's a matchup-by-matchup thing, but like, the closing lineup does not include DeMarcus Cousins, so why is there some sort of pettiness about having him in the starting lineup where you can wean him in? He's going to get there eventually. Yeah, like, there's no question he's the best center on the team.
If that's the same thought, Andre would have been starting the last three seasons.
No, I get that. That's my. Right. I think you're making my point for me.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, I think the big thing when he comes in is they need to give him short bursts of time where he can be active, and he has to be an active participant in the proceedings. And that's a lot harder to do when you start him off, and the first 5 minutes he's going to play every game include Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Stephen Curry, right, who themselves are trying to figure out what's going on. And now you're adding it in. Yes. To Mark's point, and I think it was a good one, you want to make sure that you have Boogie and rhythm with that unit as fast as possible. So maybe that's the logic. But if they give any other logic for that answer, I'm going to be like, what the hell are we doing here?
Right. Well, when obviously we've seen short bursts of, dunks on Kevin. We've seen you've seen
he traveled.
They don't call travel in the NBA.
That's valid. So, unless it's on Steph doing – by the way, the Steph James Harden thing, Steph traveled. Harden didn't. It's the gather step. Sorry.
What are we looking at as a success in the first game for Boogie as he plays? What are you looking for out of him that would be deemed a success in his first game?
A, doesn't have another injury. B – I mean,
no, it's true. It's true.
This is a pretty serious injury here.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's fair. It's fair.
I think that you're going to see rust. You're going to see all that. But I think if you're seeing a sign that whatever rust, lack of numbers he doesn't have, that there's a noticeable impact. And that doesn't have to be a complete game changer, but you're seeing, okay, if nothing else, he's a very good decoy. He's a very good screen setter. He's a very good passer. He makes things easier. I think that's the litmus test. And, you know, maybe you look at this and think, well, why is that the litmus test for a four-time All-Star? But I think it's more out of respect for the injury he's had.
Right.
The one word of caution that I would note is these dunks you see in practice or any positive reports, I don't think they mean much in the scope of what it actually means on the floor. Like, those are very 10-second Instagram moments that amount to very little.
That's because this is getting deep.
But what I would say is those moments, I think, are instrumental for DeMarcus's own recovery, his confidence. I know talking
it's between the ears as much as it is on the ankle.
Yeah. Talking with Wesley Matthews, who's a good friend, and you know, he injured his Achilles. Like, when he saw that was the immediate thought he had. So this is probably a really good thing for DeMarcus's confidence. But I think from like a game standpoint, this means that he's going to dominate in the game. I think that's a stretch. It's more of, hey, this keeps him going in the right direction.
So rehab. So playing against Jaren Collins isn't an indicator of what he's going to be doing.
Anymore. No,
listen,
and
man,
by
Jaren
the way,
Collins
I've
is the
seen,
Warriors' number one center
I've
right now.
I've seen him in ice bags.
Yeah,
Jaren.
Yeah, and I asked Bad Day with Boogie and Zach, and that was probably a bad example because he wasn't there, but recently, and he didn't want to answer.
wait,
Jaren, getting Father Time's getting him too. He's getting us all. Let's just take into account here what DeMarcus Cousins was. Okay, DeMarcus Cousins is one of the most prolific box score guys at the center position in perhaps NBA history. 25 points per game, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a half, a block and a half since 2014, 2015. And that's when he started making the All-Star games at age 24. So last year he was good for 25, 13, and 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Career high 5.4.
Yeah, 5.4 assists per game, plus 1.6 steals, 1.6 blocks. I mean, this dude is as talented as any center in the NBA, bar none. So I And the question isn't so much what can they get from him this year, because you're never going to get that again. I mean, maybe there will be glimpses. Maybe he will have games where that gets off, and a lot of that might have to just do with being in a system that he doesn't have to take on as much of a load. But, like, I don't think he'll get back to 100% this year. And if 100% Boogie, I mean, this is why people said the NBA was ruined when he showed up. I don't know what 50% Boogie does for him. Certainly it helps. It's better than nothing. Their two main problems are they don't have reliable bench scoring, and they don't have any damn centers. I got one guy who can fill both jobs right here.
Mark, you had something interesting. You had a story about basically getting the other players' reaction. And one thing that I thought when they did sign Boogie was this is going to be essentially getting a free agent midseason.
Yes.
To where, you know, you don't have
the trade deadline moved up a few weeks. So.
Yeah. So you have a, you know, you have
they're bringing in Robin Lopez too. Sorry.
Yeah. So you have a guy that you're going to have to integrate without a training camp, without, you know, games to without games to kind of acclimate. How do you think how are the players feeling about, you know, this addition and how the immediate, you know, 3 to 5 games of integrating this this player.
Like, everyone's excited, right? But, like, how do they feel now that they actually have to, like, get to work and find a way to integrate this dude?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He technically lacked a training camp, but he kind of had an extended training camp of maybe not doing the physical part, but being around the team, knowing the playbook.
Yeah, big help.
Talking to the coaches. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, his rehab, it's a very diminished form, but he's getting everything moving and getting some scrimmages. I think to your point, what I'm really fascinated is where does the line wind up being drawn? Because I've been hearing different things where, you know, Steve had made the comment that he senses that it's more on DeMarcus to adjust to the Warriors system as opposed to vice versa. It's not like he's going to be calling a lot of plays. But when he talked with Draymond and Kevin Durant, like, they were kind of touting the message, hey, it's on us to try to make him feel comfortable. He's an all-star. It's not like,
Jesus. Whenever Draymond wants to make people feel comfortable, he throws the ball into the stands 4 times in the first game.
So
first quarter.
Those are all sound bites. So, you know, we have to see how it actually plays out. But that's the push-pull I'm fascinated with. To what level does it fall on DeMarcus to adjust the Warriors? To what level does it fall on the Warriors to adjust? Obviously, like with most things, it's usually a gray area, but where does it tilt?
I think my concern is there has been a lack of scrimmage time. There's a reason why he went to the G League. It's hard to get scrimmage time and get acclimated.
Yeah, they're not going to have Andre Iguodala run for 40 minutes on a Tuesday because DeMarcus Cousins needs it.
Exactly. So I think that's my concern, a level of concern. And this is a team that is also trying to get out of a rut of their own right now within themselves. And then to add this piece, I mean, look, I don't think anyone's saying that, but it's going to be difficult, I think. What do you think,
DJ? I don't disagree. I mean, the story of the Warriors this year has been apathy, right? And the apathy is showing up on both ends of the court. Now, some of their funk that they have on the offensive end, I think, is because they just don't want to do the little things that make the Warriors' offense elite. The problem is it doesn't matter because they're still number one in the NBA in offensive rating when they're just kind of dicking around, for lack of a better word. Now, they have fallen to 18th in defensive rating, which is a clear attrition. That's my big concern. Boogie comes in, right, and they want to get him shots. They want to give him that David West role. He wants to do the pick and pop from 15, all that stuff. That's gravy. Like, Boogie can do that in his sleep. My question is, how do they integrate him into a team defense that hasn't turned on yet, might not turn on when he shows up? And frankly, Kevon Looney isn't exactly the most athletic dude, but we've
don't talk about
he's not the most athletic dude, but I would take Kevon Looney and his 3 times shaved down hips over DeMarcus Cousins and that busted Achilles right now. And they have to deal with certain things defensively to accommodate Kevon Looney's athletic limitations, if you will. So, like, that's my big concern. How does Boogie, the thing that they need to do is get their defense up to a certain level, or they at least need to lock it in for a week and then tone it back down again so that they know they have it for the playoffs. It might take all year for him to get to the point where he can play defense on a string with Draymond and Andre and, you know, K KD and getting everybody working together. It's something we haven't seen very often at all. It's something that certainly falls apart when Draymond's not on the floor. And that's the big thing. If DeMarcus is not going to be as athletic as he was before, which I think everyone in the world expects, including DeMarcus, what the hell does that mean for the Warriors' overall defense? It could actually get worse here.
I mean, we've also made the point in many podcasts. I mean, he wasn't a great defender, especially a pick-and-roll defender.
For sure.
When he was 100% healthy.
Right.
And
yeah, he's definitely hanging out in the paint now on a pick-and-roll. He's definitely just staying there. He's Rudy Gobert in it.
So I do want to – and this is one of the questions going in. What can we reasonably expect out of DeMarcus defensively, Mark?
That's the million-dollar question because –
It's actually a $5.2 million question.
Yeah, $5.2 million question because – this is compared to last year. I agree, Dieter, that, of course, if the Warriors tried harder, they would probably win more games. And
I don't even know if it's a win more games. But have they locked in on defense
yet
this year?
But I'd love to make a point here.
Feisty. He's coming for it.
Compared to last year, I think the complacency was more of an issue last year than this year. It's not to say it's not an issue this year, but a lot of the issues more – this year is they haven't been able to rely on the talent as easily as they could because they had fewer veterans to rely on with the bench.
Yeah.
Teams are getting better. Yes. They're figuring out ways to beat the Warriors, which is shoot more threes, and the Warriors haven't always been at terms with that.
Right.
So I think for the good part offensively is this is a trump card that they finally have to counter what everyone else is doing and keeps them engaged. But defensively, I don't want to say they're going to be a bad team, but I don't think they're going to be that great. If Draymond is healthier and healthier, yes, that's by default it's going to be better. But I think a lot of the defensive issues this year, obviously the main thing, Draymond being out. But these guys, I love Kevon Looney, but again, it's just more of having new roles that you're not prepared for as a unit. I think those were the main things defensively.
I do think that there is some hope at defensive end that you're putting Kevon back on the bench where he was and where you can put him, play him 15 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And when
you're
there
not
is
stretching him out.
When you're not stretching him out for 30 minutes and he can play his switch style defense, which he is great at doing.
But Kevon would spend a lot of days just on the bench. I mean, he was a situational guy. That was the big thing. I mean, he was used kind of like Jordan Bell's being used now. Maybe not to that extent, but JB will just have a seat on the bench and not show up for a game, and then some games Steve decides, oh, this team's small so we can do it. Like a game against the Clippers is a good game to play Jordan Bell because Montrezl Harrell is their only center. I guess I don't know. I don't really put a lot of faith in Gortat.
And I think that explains why Steve the other day, when he was talking about the team's defense, he was looking at last year's finish where they lost.
They were horrific.
Last 17 games.
They lost by 40 something in Utah.
He said they flipped the switch, and he said, I'm not sure if we could flip the switch like that, but I'm confident that we can be better. I think that's code words that you shouldn't assume that it's just an effort thing. But I think number two, the reason why Steve is harping on the turnovers, I mean, he always has throughout his career here, but I think lately he's harping on it because he knows if they're going to get better defensively, a lot of it's just going
to
be on reducing those and
active ball turnovers. Yeah.
One last question because we do have a 30-minute and practice is about to open up.
Nice.
I don't know, man. I saw somebody pulling into practice 10 seconds before I parked for this. So I don't. Either they're having a short practice.
Do you care to spill the beans on that?
Nope.
I do want to ask, and this goes to something that you wrote, Dieter, about DeMarcus.
Everything's a little bit about me, if we're being totally honest.
Right. You're saying this is the perfect time for DeMarcus to come back, just for the simple fact that they need to see who they have at this point.
Right.
But my question to you is, what if he isn't good or up to par? What if this is a disaster? Where do the Warriors go from here?
I think the big question on top of that would be, how long do they wait? How long are they going to give it to see if this is working and then do it? I mean, what, Mark, do you know when the trade deadline is off the top of your head?
February 7th.
God, this guy's a pro. Sorry, had to.
We're going to have to change our rating here on the iTunes and add an E.
I'm just so impressed. Legitimately, I would have no idea. So right around the All-Star game.
Right before the All-Star game.
Right before. Remember that happened with Boogie when he got traded. Yeah. Yep. Okay. I'm with y'all now. You got a month less to figure out if this is a viable option moving forward. And knowing that DeMarcus is probably going to need a couple of weeks to get into some sort of like stable form, it's a really tricky spot. I think that the Warriors probably have to operate as if Boogie is whatever we see in the first couple of games and go out and make a deal. They still have that empty roster spot. Luxury tax being luxury tax, it is what it is, but the buyout market's going to heat up. I guess they really have until the end of the buyout market in March. Robin Lopez is the name that's tossed around. It hasn't gone away in weeks. And that's really, I mean, as much as they probably would like to add a wing, they had an opportunity to get Patrick McCall when he cleared waivers. But as much as they would like to get a wing, I think ultimately rim protection has been their biggest issue. And Draymond can only play so many minutes. He can only protect so much of the rim at 6'5". Lopez, Marcus Stemman, or no, not Marcus Stemman played for Missouri when I was there. What's his name? The Hawks center. Nobody?
Sorry to disappoint you.
Oh, man. I thought Medina.
Travis Schlenk would be really upset right now.
I got to text Travis.
Dennis Schroeder was there.
He was, yeah. This is the state of Atlanta Hawks basketball. It's Vince Carter and Trey Young and actually, they have John Collins. I like John Collins. Nevertheless, like there are going to be guys on the buyout market that are big men. And I think that's where the Warriors need to focus. And I'm not sure that they can just go, oh, well, Biggie solves this problem.
Or yeah. Boogie solves this problem. I mean, Boogie doesn't – we can't assume he solves everything. But I don't think it's going to get so detrimental that they're thinking, hey, they got to get rid of him to cut their losses before the trade deadline. I think, number one, he's going to be better than that. But number two, there's a reason why he was available. Like, as much as – The rest of the NBA is crying over spilled milk. Like
anyone else could have had him.
He had a depressed market value, and you know, obviously, the Warriors got him much cheaper than what he was expecting. But I don't know under the context of you're bringing in an injured DeMarcus and the teams that the Warriors are talking to aren't the Warriors. Like how much value diminishes there?
Yeah.
So I think. Right now, I mean, the Warriors and DeMarcus are committed for this season, for better or for worse. I think it's mostly going to be for the better, but I think that's why I think you're going to see, as much as you're going to see all these question marks about DeMarcus and how effective he is on the court, I think all those reasons you brought up explain why you're going to see DeMarcus on his best behavior. Like, I don't think he's going
to. You think he's going to bring a game one?
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to complain about minutes or shots because he knows what he signed up for, and he knows that if there winds up being something where he's upset with everything, no one's going to say, hey, the Warriors, why are you screwing this up with DeMarcus? It's going to be the other way around.
It was Dwayne Dedman. He plays there for the Atlanta Hawks. He could get bought out. Second thing, the one thing, this is my final thought, and I'll get the hell out of everybody's way here. The one thing I'm really, really interested to see about when Boogie does show up is what it means for Draymond Green. Because I don't think Draymond's worked himself into shape yet since that injury, if we're being totally honest. I think he's trying really hard, but he's maybe a step slower than he usually is. But the Warriors have a 102 defensive rating when Draymond's on the court this year, and it goes up like 13 points when he's off. And he is playing upwards of 20 minutes at center a game. We saw what happened in the Knicks game where Enes Kanter just worked him, and then he worked Looney. And that's a backup center who can't guard it.
I had to wipe tears off your face for Looney.
No, but nevertheless, like, will changing Draymond's workload so he doesn't have to carry so much of the burden, he can play a little more free safety, which is where he is at his best, rotating everybody around him instead of having to be the first, the last, the everything for the Warriors near the rim and, you know, getting out and all that stuff. Will that workload that he gets taken off of him a little bit, just because now there's just a body that can play center, will that help the Warriors' overall team defense? And will that help Draymond perhaps even on the offensive end? Because he doesn't have to take on as much. I mean, this dude is a little bit out of shape. He is a little bit just frazzled, I think. He doesn't seem as cool, calm, and collected on the floor. He was extremely demonstrative up 30 against the Knicks when he got some blocks. He's always demonstrative, but it felt like a little angry. And the third thing, I mean, this guy's been carrying injuries for more than a year now, probably even longer than that. Just a little bit less workload is a little bit less that goes on that shoulder, a little bit less that goes on that weird-ass elbow, a little bit less that goes on his knees and his ankles and everything else. I mean, this dude is breaking down under the stress of playing that much center and not having to play 20 minutes. Steve Kerr said he didn't didn't want to play Draymond at center at all this year. He's playing him 20 minutes
and
a
that
game.
Changed.
20 minutes a game on top of the power forward minutes. Going back to just playing power forward and then coming in as more of a specialty center with that death lineup or Hamptons 5 or whatever you want to call it. I'm hoping that that makes Draymond's life easier, and I think Draymond's life gets easier, the Warriors' life gets easier.
Yeah, that's
Before we get out of here, hot take time, because we do have to get here.
Okay.
In two words or less, how good are the Warriors with Boogie by May?
Unparalleled talent. Those are my two words.
Championship contending.
Whoa, contending?
Or not contending, championship winning.
Yeah.
In May? They won a championship.
This well, they won the really championship good. In May last year too.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. You can follow Mark Medina's work at MarkG_Medina. You can follow all the hot takes. It's not even just I'm on your timeline. It's not even. It's a whole diverse set of. It's a diverse portfolio.
A lunatic person. Just say what it is.
He's people press row always say, "What's Dietz gonna say?" And, it's pretty funny.
I know exactly who says that. By the way, that's Friedel coming hot.
What is Dietz saying today?
This podcast will now turn into a Nick Friedel impersonation contest.
What is that?
Oh, man, the Duke is back.
All right. Well, you can follow me and my SoundCloud at Logan M. Murdoch. We will talk to you guys soon. You can subscribe. You can see us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, Dieter.
Get it.
Tap in with all the stuff. We got Mark. He's going to go on the road this week. He's kissing babies. He's hugging people.
Like, he's going back to L.A.
He's going back to L.A.
He's definitely kissing some babies in L.A.
He's going to be there for a whole week, Dieter Hurtenbach.
And a weekend. 2 days off. By the way, if you can place a bet now on the Warriors losing that game to the Lakers
They're losing by double digits.
No, yeah. Here's the thing, though.
Because the Lakers going to be partying, too?
No, it's not that. I think the Warriors had some issues in recent years against the Lakers in LA, but that's because they weren't a good team. So they thought, okay,
yeah,
they can enjoy.
Oh, that's
they
can that's enjoy that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, now it's a little bit different. I don't think they want to be embarrassed by LeBron.
Oh, they were also
they were on Christmas. They seemed fine.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were embarrassed.
Rajon Rondo and Zubac got them.
If I remember correctly, Larry Nance Jr. touched David West's head on a dunk, and that the Lakers won convincingly with Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry.
Draymond's throwing up on the bench.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a tough game. Also, that Washington game after a week in LA, it's going to be an interesting road trip coming up. For beat writers and players alike.
Yeah, now, Mark's going to be throwing up on press row too.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
So
That's true. Mark can handle stuff.
We will have a steady cam on Mark Medina. We will have a steady cam on the game. But until then, we will talk to you guys soon. Tap in. Peace.